Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Welcome to this charming two-bedroom home located in a sought-after suburb. This appealing property boasts a renovated kitchen, glass windows and walls throughout to ensure comfort all year round. As you step inside this delightful dwelling, you'll notice the spacious bedrooms with ample room for relaxation or work-from-home setup if desired. These rooms offer comfort that adjusts according to your needs regardless of the season. Situated close to local green space and taverns within walking distance, enjoy village living at its finest. This property strikes the perfect balance between comfort and convenience without compromising style, making it truly a place you'd love to call The Gargle. Welcome, this is The Gargle, a sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are James Nokise. Welcome back.
Lovely to be here, Alice. I almost said welcome to you, but that's just the morning talking.
We can all be welcoming to one another. And Laura Davis, welcome.
Welcome, Alice. Welcome.
I think you are the first hosts that we've had who are married to each other.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we sit down together and have the cup of tea that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. The front cover this week is the Looks Maxing Community feature, a feature article on the Looks Maxing Community. If you don't know what the Looks Maxing Community is, it's young men online who want to be hot, including a guy on TikTok who recommends giving yourself a better jawline by hitting yourself in the jaw with a hammer. So
it's a good place to start, you know.
Is the hammer a dildo? Is that what it's meant to be?
Yeah, be your own Michelangelo.
I don't know if it works like that, but it's a nice way to sort of rebrand vanity, which has traditionally been seen as a more kind of a feminine art form. But I like the idea of masculinizing vanity to the point of hitting yourself in the chin with a hammer.
It's the gua sha of the bro.
Lymphatic drainage given a brutal twist.
Keep the hammer in the fridge for puffiness.
Yeah, I just want young men lining up in Bunnings, looking at the hammers, figuring out which one is the best for the face.
Yeah, I think if you're not masculine enough to already own the hammer, it's maybe not for you.
The satirical cartoon this week is a caricature figure representing cryptocurrency, desperately trying to brush a dusty pile of Sam Bankman-Fried convicted on all counts under the rug. And the alternative satirical cartoon this week is the stock market in America panicking at the widespread uptake of Ozempic and other weight loss drugs and fleeing en masse from companies that are seen to benefit from America's obesity epidemic. This is a real move that's happened in the stock market in the last few weeks with the uptake of Ozempic. How do you feel about that, James?
Well, I mean, crypto is really just the weight loss drug of the economy, isn't it? You've got to take it up, man. It's the newest trend. It's going to be, oh, it's not working. Oh, I'm in hospital.
Well, that's probably a spoiler alert for one of our later stories. But our top story this week is Wiggles news. And this is the news that the Wiggles are deeply disappointed with Bunbury Council, who are apparently using the Wiggles track Hot Potato to try and make life inhospitable for homeless people. Laura Davis, can you unpack this story for us?
Look, as a native of these lands, it is, though they have not made Bunbury inhospitable enough for people who live there in the houses, I just can't imagine how I would be able to continue with my life if the Wiggles were disappointed in me. I don't think everybody, like every Australian in a child is crying if the Wiggles say, no, we're very disappointed in you. You change your behaviour, surely.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, even if your parents are disappointed in you, you can rebel against your parents. But you can't rebel against the Wiggles.
Yeah, I can handle my parents being disappointed at me. I think Dorothy the dinosaur is just too far. I don't think I would be okay. I had trouble sleeping last night knowing the Wiggles were disappointed in Bunbury Council. You know, and I don't even work for Bunbury Council, which is a fate I have, you know, stridently avoided.
I mean, Bunbury is the place where I was heckled by a man who said, "You're like bread, everyone touches it, no one wants it," which raised a number of questions.
Probably makes sense in Bunbury. James, you went to Bunbury.
Now, Laura, why would you trigger a repressed memory of me going to Bunbury? That man now has scabies, by the way, Alice. That's, you know, no one wants to touch bread. Well, maybe get some fiber in your diet, my Australian cousin. It's a very interesting thing because there are variations of this kind of story around the world where they use music that they deem mentally destructive to try and get homeless people away. Now, in this case, they've chosen the Wiggles, which just feels like a double insult to the Wiggles. They used to use Peter Allen's I Go to Rio, wait for it, De Janeiro. And the Wiggles are not the only people who've ever been disappointed in Bunbury. Anyone who's been there has been disappointed. People still living in Bunbury are disappointed.
Yes. James went to Bunbury and I drove him to the train station and I cried at the train station as though I was sending him off to war. And then I had to go collect him at about 6 in the morning because the booker he'd made his way back from Bunbury urgently because the booker had insisted on sleeping in the same bed as him, but, you know, to save on accommodation costs.
And I was not paid extra for that spooning. I want to tell you right now. That's I don't usually put out on the first gig. You've got to promise me a headline spot for that kind of act.
I think that it's also Hot Potato. The song is Hot Potato, which is what they should be giving the homeless people.
Also, this is a big estimation of, like, it's a big guess about the demographic makeup of this homeless population, because if any of these homeless people have been parents in the last 20 years, I guarantee you they've gone deaf to the Wiggles.
They don't hear it.
They've heard it so many times, it's just white noise. Very relaxing.
There's also lots of, there's lots of families with young children who are being made homeless in this cost of living crisis. So perhaps they can just lean into it.
Just get some costumes.
Yeah, let's not address the social issues and the economic problems. Let's just create a little Wiggles commune.
I also found it amazing that the Dunbury MP who's against this, who's saying it lacks compassion, is a man called Don Punch, which is a very Western Australian name. I think we can all acknowledge that. But when you've got an Aussie called D Punch, who's like, "Where's the compassion?" I think you've really messed up.
It's a very good enemy name for the Wiggles to have. They, yeah. I mean, they've not. The Wiggles haven't had a very good like nemesis storyline yet. You know, they've got a lot of friends. They've got Henry the Octopus. They've got Dorothy the Dinosaur, Captain Feathersword. Maybe what they need is a dark city council.
He yeah, starts off that. The Wiggles.
Middle manager.
I'm seeing it, guys. I'm seeing it. It's got the Wiggles. They go to Bunbury, and it looks like their nemesis is going to be Don Punch. Oh, he's a scary man. He's a city councillor. No, he's an MP. But then they discover he's actually a great friend, and he ends up dancing with Dorothy, and they drive down to that. Is it the world's longest wharf? Is that what's down in Bunbury? If I got
it's
right?
not far from there.
I also feel like they've missed a trick here, playing hot potato. I mean, surely if you want to make something inhospitable for people to sleep in, you'd play Wake Up Jeff. Is that not?
Yeah, it was right there, Bunbury Council.
It was right there. They laid it down. The Wiggles laid it down.
Do you think this could be enough to radicalise the Wiggles? Like, I don't think that they have been stepping up to the plate when it comes to, you know, strong social change or revolution, but perhaps this is literally the wake-up Jeff call that they needed to realize there are a lot of problems and they could actually use their voice for a lot more than fruit salad, yummy, yummy.
Well, we can all put our hands together and hope that is what happens. I can't wait to see a whole bunch
Wiggles,
of like 3-year-olds being radicalized into action on the streets. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Halloween. Sorry, it's brought to you by Half Price Halloween leftover products and sweets. Don't mind if your chocolate's pretending to be a witch. Try half-priced Halloween leftovers. Ever wanted a giant model of a spider for only $5? Try half-priced Halloween leftovers. Half-priced Halloween leftovers. There hasn't been a sale here for 30 years. And look at mummies. Look at skeletons. Look at wrinkled old crones. Look at dusty ghosts and cobwebs and accept that the spookiest thing of all is being dehydrated. Half a glass of water. Stop that terrifying creaking noise. At the source.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now it's time for tech news. Tech news now, if you grok me. This is the news that Elon Musk has launched a new AI, a rebellious AI, which has few safety rails. It's being put forward in the name of free speech. It will tell you how to make cocaine. And some people are extremely excited about it. James Nokiso, you've been extremely excited about things in the past. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, it's enough to make you say get grokked. Ellis, Elon Musk, the biggest grokker in all of tech, has unleashed. We haven't seen it yet. Here's the thing with Musk. He said it exists and it's coming, but you know he hasn't quite unleashed it. It's called Grok. Its nickname is Grok, I guess. It's an advanced AI. It's sort of there to promote free speech. He says they've just built it in the last couple of months, but again, with his company, it's probably built itself. There's probably a rogue, completely functioning AI out there already beginning to take over the world. I think the clear thing we've gotten from the couple of announcements we've had this week is that Musk has no idea what this thing is. They've said it's called Grok. The AI system is called Grok because it means to understand in tech circles. But we all know he just liked the name Grok. Like, he absolutely has not gone, aha, yes, it means to understand. Just gone, Grok, yeah, cool. It's got a K in it. Like, it's going to answer spicy questions. That's a genuine quote from a billionaire head of a company. We've built AI to answer spicy questions. None of them have ever been laid. Well, famously, Elon Musk has definitely had children, but you might be right, Laurie. He may have not been laid in getting those children. He may have just grokked a few very sad women.
I think these people have taken it too far. We just used to write boobs upside down on the calculator and leave it at that.
Well, so this is the thing. On leading up to the release, Musk posted this thing on X of an example of Grok responding to a request for a step-by-step cocaine recipe, and that like many chatbots, Grok is like very sassy and has a bit of personality to himself. And the problem I think here is the fact of the demonstration, because Elon Musk quite famously and quite recently is a person who demonstrated the strength of his Cybertruck by hurling a ball bearing through its window, then later trying to redeem that by having Joe Rogan fire an arrow at his Cybertruck. And then he launched the idea of a robot, a sentient humanoid robot, by having a man come on stage in a suit. So I don't know how much we can trust this demonstration of Grok's capabilities.
It's a real sort of apocalyptic Willy Wonka thing going on. Like, this is this is really grim now. And, I mean, you also need to invent the time travel to go back to where defense from archery is helpful in warfare.
I mean, I'm slightly worried that his company that does AI is called XAI, because it's very much like his son's name, which is XAE12, if I recall correctly, or that's the beginning of a very long string of names. But it feels like he sort of circles around the same kind of naming conventions in a way that makes me worry that a man so celebrated for his originality of thought may in fact just be rehashing old sci-fi premises.
But how Ellis, how can he be celebrated for his original thought when his truck looks like the one that Homer built in The Simpsons?
Look, on the bright side, he is giving a lot of joy and hope to a particular kind of person who feels like they've been let down by the chattering classes and educated artistic types who've looked down on engineers for too long and don't enjoy it when people, for example, embrace free speech to the point of letting Nazis on their platform.
Yeah, go tell Grok all the mean things the feminazis said to you. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they can just talk to Grok.
Dr. Grok.
I love Dr. Grok.
If I know anything about technology and people, it's that it's only a matter of time before someone tries to marry Grok.
What would work is if, because he's just come back on TV, Elon Musk paid Kelsey Grammer way too much money, which Kelsey Grammer may take because we all love him, but never look into his personal politics, especially if you're a big fan of Frasier. But wouldn't it be great?
Oh, you think that Frasier is a sitcom about that flamboyantly left-wing man?
Look, this is not the time or place, Laura Davis, for us to get into debates
renowned
over the political stances.
Frasier Crane. Frasier.
All right. We had this conversation in Bunbury. We're not having it here on
Niles.
The garden.
A man who is has class bigotry against his own father.
Yes.
It's just champion of the people. I resent Frasier purely because he means that every American is incapable of pronouncing my last name correctly.
Yes, Miss Frasier. I love that he built Grok because he thought other AI were too woke. So he's just built a AI.
Despite the fact that all of previous evidence indicates that AI, like one of the biggest worries about AI is that it replicates previous prior bigotries and can be, in fact, quite right wing, because if it's drawing on the whole history of human discourse, then I don't know how to break this to you guys, but a lot of our history was a bit skew whiff according to current morals.
Really? Grok said it was all fine.
Let's look at all these films about AI taking over the world and realizing that humanity is a disease and it needs to be wiped out. Let's look at all of the art that's been made over the past 200 years about sci-fi dystopias and then go, you know what? AI is too kind. Let's make a mean one and put it on the largest social media platform out there.
And that brings us to our review section. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. James, what have you brought in for us this week?
Well, I have brought in a New Zealand native bird because I don't know if you're aware, but friend of the gargle, John Oliver, formerly British, now American comedian, has crashed into the New Zealand Bird of the Year election, which is arguably the most important election in New Zealand this year, and has sponsored one of our birds, the Pūtiketike, and has said this should be the bird of the century. And he's crashed the New Zealand website, which is literally about 4 people working for Bird and Forest New Zealand going, oh, geez, there's a lot of votes today. So it's really annoyed me, Alice, because this is this is colonization on 2 parts. One, it's a British man putting his snout into, his very lovely snout, John, but also hire me as a writer, into the New Zealand politics where we don't want that, mate. That's why the Māori Party got a record number of seats in the election, all right? Keep your British. And also, it's an American trying to rig a foreign election. So just double bad one there, John. So I would like to review a different bird, which is the takahe, which is also very endangered bird, just as endangered as the most endangered birds. It's actually known as the bird which became alive again because it was thought to be extinct for 50 years until 1948. Because I don't know if you know this, Alice, but most New Zealand birds are massive introverts. So it's just hanging out by itself. I think producer Ped's got a sound of its mating call or just a normal call. Which sounds a bit like a marital bed being used. Just got a consistent. Why are you looking at me like that, Laura?
Because why don't they fix the bed?
Well, it's a bird, Laura. That's why. It's got claws.
Laura just declaring that if that were their marital bed, you'd use WD-40 and solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, wouldn't have lasted a night.
Maybe that's why this bird's going extinct, because now it's too smooth and it's not making any noises to attract a mate.
Well, look, some critics will probably say that it looks like the pūkeko or the swamp hen to you Australians with diabetes. And that's arguably a fair call, but it's a lovely bird. It's massively endangered, and there's no reason for it to not get votes just because that John Oliver is coming in with his mass-produced foreign money once again trying to just rig a New Zealand election. So, anyone out there listening on the gargle, it's go to find the takahe. There's an accent on the E, and give it your vote, because it's not foreign election rigging if it's spearheaded by a Kiwi who's living overseas on an international broadcast.
If you look at a takahe, they do not seem particularly pleased to be back from extinction.
Out of five stars, how much do you give it?
Oh, look, I give it 6 because it's better than a 5-star bird, which is what John Oliver would have you say.
Demagogue.
Laura, what have you brought in for us to review out of 5 stars?
I would like to review exotic goats in zoos, please. Are you looking at an exotic animal because it is a rare mountain goat? Are you looking at a goat and you could be at a farm? Where's the line? Should we be having exotic goats in zoos? Are they not maybe exciting enough to be in the zoo? Is a goat the most exotic animal that should be in a zoo. And all of the other ones should be put back in the jungle. I'm not sure exactly where I stand on the matter. I think out of five, definitely a three.
3 stars for the exotic goat at the zoo from Laura. And that brings us to people who may need to be kept in captivity for their own protection. A series of crypto bros have been seriously injured after staring too hard into some lasers at a bored ape party, which is ironic if you know that some of the bored apes have lasers coming out of their eyes. We didn't realize that the lasers were actually going into their eyes. Multiple attendees at this party ended up going to hospital because the UV lights on the stage were so bright that they caused what's called welder's eye, which is if you say UV damage to the eye and severe sunburn to the face. Laura Davis, you've stared into the bright lights of the future. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, this is what Nietzsche tried to warn us about. If you gaze into the bored ape's eyes, the bored ape will also gaze into you. How long were they gazing into the ape?
I assume a series of hours.
A Medusa? What is this Medusa situation?
It was a laser stage show of some kind that involved very bright flashing lights in order to, I assume, cover for the fact that the music wasn't very good. I'm not entirely sure.
And the ideas are shonky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't read the fine print if they've got welder's eye.
Well, this is sort of a deeply unfortunate thing to lure people to an ape conference, specifically the ape NFT, the bored ape NFT, because these are people who have been culled from the general population specifically due to their susceptibility to peer pressure. You just know they're not going to be the ones who are looking away from the stage and going, maybe I shouldn't be staring directly into this bright light just because all my friends are doing it. They're the ones who are saying, no, hold on to these, despite the fact that NFTs have lost 94% of their value since initial launch. So it does feel like shooting fish in a barrel to a certain extent.
Yes, but what is art?
It's not a bored ape NFT. These people weren't using their eyes for anything anyway.
I love this performance piece. This Hansel and Gretel sort of tale of modernity. I love it.
I mean, if the artist did this deliberately, look, I can't condone violence or damaging people as a form of art, but also it would be very funny.
Mm. I think it's weird that they tweeted about it. Like, that's a mental health issue at some point because it's just so weird. I woke up at 4 a.m. and couldn't see anymore.
Yeah, and I asked Dr. Grok what I needed to do.
So tell me and I will tweet it out. That's from someone called CryptoJune777. So there's a whole bunch of red flags popping up here. Someone else wrote, I woke up at 3 a.m. with extreme pain and ended up in the ER. I don't understand. And then someone's like, I got it as well. I went to bed at 1:30 and I woke up at five with eyes burning. And you go, why are these people writing about this? Like, if it was a mate
presumably
reporting.
Presumably it's voice to text at that stage.
Well, the spelling's very good for the Siri. Take a note and post it.
Hey, X. Siri, tell Grok that my eyes hurt.
I think the strangest thing about the whole issue is, like what you said, Alice, they've lost 90% of their value. So these are the true believers that somehow this is all. These are the people who've like put the house into a second mortgage and bought up pictures of bored apes and are really, really banking on this thing turning around.
And that brings us to our final story this week, which is the news that Sam Bankman-Fried, the king of crypto, the poster child for effective altruism, has been found guilty on all counts of one of the biggest financial frauds in history. James Nokise, you've been guilty of trying to buy up the entirety of a small island to do human experiments. Can you unpack this story for us?
Look, that was Niue, and they weren't doing anything with that island anyway. It's actually pronounced fried, as in fried eyes. I think you'll find. as
apparently, though, the rumor that he was going to buy Nauru was just a thing that one of his people suggested to him. Apparently, he wasn't seriously entertaining him, and we can believe this because he hasn't consistently lied over a series of years.
I think the funniest thing of this whole was his lawyer. You know how when there's these high-profile cases, the lawyer comes out, we're going to fight this. We're going to, you know, this is an injustice. His lawyer came out and said, we respect the jury's decision, but we're very disappointed with the result, which you're a lawyer. Well, you've been a lawyer, Alice. That's basically just like, well, you got me, like in lawyer talk.
Well, I was following this trial fairly closely because it's an area of interest for me. And basically, he made it very difficult for his lawyers overall by, you know, for example, he was under a fairly loose house arrest and they kept having to tighten his restrictions until they ended up having to jail him. And I think he insisted on testifying despite the fact that it was probably a very bad idea and he came across very badly in his testimony and under cross-examination. So I can imagine his lawyers were not necessarily the most pleased with him. Also, the evidence was incredibly damning, and during his period of house arrest, they could not stop him giving interviews to every f***ing person who asked, including just sort of low-grade Twitter bloggers.
But there's a wonderful comedy film that's going to emerge from this, because this dude was just such a beautiful asshole. Just like you're absolutely right. It's like you can just see that kind of gives context to the lawyer's quote. Like, it just now I'm just picturing a sad lawyer going, it's over, finally I can see my family again. I'm so like secretly just going, thank God you found him guilty. I would hate to have to continue to deal with this client.
He's yet to undergo sentencing, but apparently he's potentially one of those cases where he could get up to 100 years of jail time unless the judge decides that he's too rich to go to jail or whatever it is they do with wealthy young men. But the closing arguments of Nicholas Rose, who was the prosecution, said he took the money, he knew it was wrong, he did it anyway because he thought he was smarter and better and he could figure his way out of it. Which seems to be a pretty concise summing up of what actually went on. Laura, did you follow this trial at all?
I found it very hard to follow because so much of it is insane. I love the idea of house arrest interviews. Just, no, you come to me. Like, if we could just meet, I'll yell out all my problems out the kitchen window and you write them down.
It's a massive amount of money, isn't it? Like, it's about $8 billion, and that's about 25 Naurus.
Yes, yeah. Well, so it was that $8 billion were missing, and that he had sort of misappropriated and moved around just huge numbers for an extended period of time. But his company was valued at $32 billion at one point, despite the fact that they didn't do anything legitimately the whole time and were just moving money around between their different entities.
I don't know how either of you two feel, but I think we need a new term. I think billion has got watered down too much. I think the word billion. Grok. Yeah, we need something, because people hear 32 billion. And I feel like they hear the 32 and they don't really, the billion is like, oh, yeah, people have billions now. Because it just, it seems like it's still not, we're not getting through how massive an amount of money this dude got. Like, his lawyer was like, oh, he's just a maths nerd and this got out of control. It's like, no, he defrauded people out of billions.
Is the solution to climate change to allow billionaires to purchase the Pacific Islands that are about to go underwater so that they have a deep vested interest? I mean, you know, you buy Nauru, you get it for cheap, but then, you know, it's the maintenance that really gets you. It's stopping the sea levels from rising.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have given it to him.
It's a strange thing that's happening, guys, but like, which is too close to Laura's joke. Niue has just started a groundbreaking idea of getting people to sponsor the ocean. That's part of their country. So they're getting people in as sponsors of parts of the ocean to get that personal buy-in on the state of the area. So, you know, we are, as always, living in an actual satire.
Mm. I mean, the nature of cryptocurrency is that a lot of the selling point of it was, what if money, but we had it, because we got to be the first movers in a new money system, and that we could use this money in an unregulated way, which would mean that we wouldn't have all of the slow and inefficient regulations that keep people from, for example, stealing all of their clients' money and trying to use it to buy an island. Again, I should clarify, he says he wasn't going to buy the island and use it for human experimentation. It's just something that was suggested to him in a Google Doc and he entertained for a while. So we shouldn't accuse him of that. But these crypto guys do often have island-based plans. If they're not floating boat-based, you know, international law plans, they're often island-based plans. And they tend to sound very reasonable up until the point where they start arguing about the age of consent. And that, I feel, is the red flag in the crypto plan for the crypto nation.
I think the island is the red flag. I think by the time you've got to the age consent, you're too far in. I think if someone's like, hey, I've got an island, just be like, nope, I think I've ever watched this film. It's Ralph Fiennes, your chef. I'm not coming. Sorry.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. James, have you got anything to plug?
Look, I've just finished being a reporter at the Rugby World Cup, which was a strange adventure for me. And if any listeners would like to know why I was there, you can catch my podcast, Fair Game, Pacific Rugby Against the World, to find out all the infrastructure issues with the Pacific Islands and world rugby. Here's a hint, billionaires are a part of it.
You don't say. Laura, have you got anything to plug?
I would just like to plug the fact that you can buy my digital stand-up albums on my website, and I should have another one coming out soon.
I can recommend pursuing both of those recommended avenues from our guests today. You can help keep the Gargle alive and thriving by joining Team Bugle. If you go to thebuglepodcast.com/donate and you can make a one-off donation or become a Team Bugler, which means you get all the Bugle podcasts ad-free along with bonus treats, including the exclusive Ask Andy podcast and a limited edition episode of The Bugle on 12-inch orange vinyl. Which is a real thing that exists and could be in your hands. If you go to thebuglepodcast.com/donate, you can support those essential audio ventures. I'm Alice Fraser. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop where you can find all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs, as well as my weekly salons. I also do 2 writers' meetings a week. If you'd like to write something, whatever it is, come along, join us. It's a blast, and you can currently get that for $1 a month. Which I think is sort of ridiculously cheap. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.